You're listening to ESL Podcasts English Cafe, number 282. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode 282. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Visit our website at eslpod.com. Download this episode's learning guide, an 8 to 10 page guide, we provide for all of our current episodes that will give you some additional help in improving your English and make your children smarter. You can also take a look at our ESL podcast store with additional courses in English, as well as our ESL podcast blog. On this cafe, we're going to talk about the 60s and the 70s, in a way. We're going to talk about a movie called The Graduate, which was a popular movie in the late 1960s. We're also going to talk about a woman who became famous in the 1970s by the name of Patty Hearst, someone that most Americans of my generation and older certainly remember. And as always, we'll answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. The Graduate is a book and a movie. The book was written by a man named Charles Webb and was published in the year I was born, 1963. 4 years later, it was made into a movie, and most Americans are probably more familiar with the movie than with the book. I, for example, did not know that it was a book until looking at some of the information in preparing for this episode. A graduate is a person who has what we call earned a degree at a particular school, college, or university. To earn a degree means to complete a course of study and to be given some sort of certificate. We call it a diploma, D-I-P-L-O-M-A. That indicates that you have completed your studies in a particular area. I, for example, am a graduate of the University of Minnesota. That's where I got my bachelor's degree. I also graduated from the College of St. Thomas. Now it's called the University of St. Thomas. That's where I got my master's degree. And finally, I got my PhD from the University of Southern California. So I'm a graduate of three different universities. That's what my father called a permanent student, which is sort of true. I'm still a student in many ways. Anyway, the film The Graduate is about a young man named Benjamin Braddock, who is a recent university graduate, someone who has earned his university degree only a short time ago. In the plot, or the story, Benjamin's parents host a graduation party for him. To host, H-O-S-T, means that they are the ones who plan the party and have the party for, in this case, their son. They invite friends and relatives to come to their house and celebrate their son's graduation, something that is very typical. One of the guests is a woman by the name of Mrs. Robinson. She is the wife of Benjamin's father's business partner, someone his father works with. And Mrs. Robinson gives young Benjamin a ride home. The phrase to give someone a ride means to offer to drive someone somewhere when that person doesn't have a car. So if you don't have a car and I do, I could give you a ride to Venice Beach, or I could give you a ride to Disneyland, which is about, 45 minutes south by car from where I am. Anyway, Mrs. Robinson gives our young Benjamin a ride, but she takes him to her house, not to his apartment. And at her house, she tries to seduce him. To seduce, S-E-D-U-C-E, means to try to get the other person to want to have sexual relations with you. In this case, Mrs. Robinson is trying to seduce young Benjamin. She removes or takes off her clothes, which is probably a pretty powerful way of seducing someone. I don't know, personally. They begin having an affair. To have an affair means to become involved in a romantic, sexual relationship. We usually use the term when one or both of the people in the relationship is married to someone else. So a man has a wife, and the man also has a girlfriend, what we used to call a lover, L-O-V-E-R. And that is a situation where the man is having an affair with this other woman. Benjamin is having an affair with Mrs. Robinson, who is, as I mentioned previously, already married. At the same time, Benjamin's parents and Mr. Robinson, Mrs. Robinson's husband, are trying to set Benjamin up with Elaine, who is Mr. and Mrs. Robinson's daughter, to set someone up with someone means to try to get two people to date each other because you think they will like each other in a romantic way. So you say to your friend, my girlfriend has a beautiful cousin. Would you like to meet her? Maybe the two of you could go out on a date, on a romantic meeting. This never happened to me personally. I assume that all of my friends' cousins were not very pretty. So here we have a strange situation. Benjamin is having an affair with the older Mrs. Robinson, but his parents and Mr. Robinson want him to date the daughter, Mrs. Robinson's daughter. Well, obviously, Mrs. Robinson doesn't want Benjamin to date her own daughter, but Benjamin does anyway. Benjamin and Elaine actually fall in love with each other. Remember, Elaine is the daughter, the younger daughter, someone more close to Benjamin's age. Benjamin tells Elaine about the affair he had with her mother, and this, for some reason, I don't know why, makes her very angry. So Elaine begins dating someone else, but Benjamin pursues her, continues to try to speak with her and tell her that he loves her. I don't want to tell you the end of the movie. We try not to do that on the English Cafe in case you someday want to see the movie. I can tell you that Mr. Robinson, the husband, finds out about the affair that Benjamin and his wife had, and that, of course, leads to some other very interesting developments, interesting things in the plot. One of the reasons the movie The Graduate became famous, or at least continues to be well known, is that it had a famous song. The song is called Mrs. Robinson by two very popular singers in the 1960s and early 70s, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, who were known as Simon and Garfunkel. The success of the movie helped make the song popular, and I think the later success of the song helped keep the movie in the minds of the American people. The film itself was called one of the funniest American comedies of the year. This is back in 1967. One of the actors, the actor who played Benjamin, the main actor, we would call him the lead, L-E-A-D actor, was Dustin Hoffman. Hoffman later became famous in several other movies and is still a famous actor. The movie won the Oscar, the best and highest award you can get for a movie in the United States, for Best Director. And in 1996, the U.S. National Film Registry, an organization that examines and looks at good films, good movies, named The Graduate a, quote, culturally significant film, unquote, meaning it was important in the development of pop culture in the 1960s. Now, whether that was a good development or a bad development depends on your opinion of the movie. In any case, The Graduate is well known, and the song, Mrs. Robinson, is well known. You may know the song, the chorus of the song, the part that repeats in the song, goes something like this. And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson, Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson, heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. And so on. There is, of course, some irony in the fact that the chorus has these religious sentiments, these religious ideas mentioning God and Jesus, when Mrs. Robinson, of course, is having an affair with this younger man. Irony is when you say one thing, but you really mean another. You're trying to convey a different meaning than what the words actually say. Now let's turn to our next topic, also a very interesting one, in my opinion, one of the more interesting stories of the 1970s in American history, and that is Patty Hearst. Patty Hearst was born in San Francisco, here in the beautiful state of California, in 1954. She grew up in a very wealthy, a very rich family. Her great-grandfather was George Hearst, who worked and invested in the mining industry. Mining is when you dig into the ground to get things like gold and coal. Hearst became very rich, a millionaire, and became a senator from the state of California, a United States senator. He represented California in Washington, D.C. George Hearst's son, Patty Hearst's grandfather, was the most famous of all the Hearsts, William Randolph Hearst. William Randolph Hearst was what we would call a publishing magnate. A magnet, M-A-G-N-A-T-E, is someone who is very powerful in a particular area, a particular kind of business, and is also very wealthy. William Randolph Hearst was a publishing magnate, meaning he was very rich and powerful in the publishing industry. He created the biggest newspaper and magazine business in the world during the late 19th century and early 20th century. He was also elected to the United States Congress. He was in the House of Representatives, not the Senate. The Hearst family was a very important part of U.S. history, U.S. politics, and U.S. journalism. The Hearst newspapers advocated or favored certain political positions, especially in international relations, and were very influential in things such as the 1898 war against Spain, the Spanish-American War, as it's called. Patty Hearst was William Randolph Hearst's goddaughter. She became famous, but really she became notorious instead of famous. Someone who is notorious, N-O-T-O-R-I-O-U-S, is famous, but in a bad way. Famous for the bad things that he or she has done. We might say that, for example, Adolf Hitler is notorious, or Joseph Stalin, or Pol Pot in Cambodia. These are all notorious people because they did some very bad things. In 1974, in the month of February, Patty Hearst and her boyfriend were in their apartment when they were kidnapped. To kidnap, K-I-D-N-A-P, someone, means to take someone against their will, against their wishes, usually because you want to get money from the family of that person. Rich people's children are sometimes kidnapped because the kidnappers believe the parents will pay a lot of money to have their children returned to them. There were several famous kidnapping cases in American history. This was one of the more famous ones. Patty and her boyfriend were kidnapped by a group calling itself the Symbionese Liberation Army. Remember, this is the early 70s when radical political groups were to be found in many Western European and Western countries. The group made up the word Symbionese. It's not a real word, or wasn't a real word in English. They called themselves an urban guerrilla group. Urban refers to the city. The urban environment would be the environment in a city, a large city. A guerrilla is, in this case, a member of a small group that fights against the military or the government using unusual and often unexpected tactics. Normally, we think of guerrillas fighting somewhere in a jungle or a forest. An urban guerrilla would be a group that would do things in large cities, such as what happened with the Symbionese Liberation Army. The SLA, as they were called back then, had a lot of radical ideas about how society should be changed. They wanted everyone to be treated equally. but they tried to achieve those things through violence. It was one of the many fringe political groups in the 60s and 70s. Those of you a bit older than I remember the radical groups of those days. Some of them are still around in some countries. A fringe, F-R-I-N-G-E group, is a small group that is very extreme and generally does not have a lot of people as part of the organization. Other fringe groups at this time included the Black Panther Party and the Weather Underground organization. The SLA kidnapped Patty Hearst and tried to demand the release of some of its members who were in jail. In other words, the group said it would set Patty free if the U.S. government let members of the Symbionese Liberation Army out of jail. Well, of course, the government said no. So then the group changed its mind and said it would let Patty go if her family would give $70 of food to every needy or poor family in California. Patty's father then donated $6 million, which was worth a lot more than it is today, of food to poor people. However, the group said that the donation wasn't big enough and that the food wasn't very good, so it refused to release Patty. Now things get really strange, really weird. 2 months after she was kidnapped, Patty Hearst announced that she had joined the group. About 2 weeks after that, she participated in one of the group's bank robberies, where they would steal money from a bank. She was finally arrested in September of 1975, about a year and a half after her kidnapping. After her arrest, Patty defended the members of the SLA. She refused to say bad things about them or provide information about the bad things they had done. Now, the Hearst family, of course, tried to defend Patty herself. They said that what happened to her was an example of what is called the Stockholm Syndrome. A syndrome, S-Y-N-D-R-O-M-E, is sort of a medical condition, a group of physical or mental problems that affect people in a certain way. The Stockholm Syndrome occurs when hostages, which is what we call the people who are kidnapped, they're called hostages, begin to actually like the people who kidnapped them. They defend them. They see things from their perspective. Not all psychologists agree on how this works, but there have been several cases. Stockholm, of course, is a city in Sweden, and the name comes from an example of this phenomenon that took place there. During Patty's court case, when she was brought before a judge because she had committed a crime, or at least she was accused of committing a crime, her lawyer argued that she was suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. He said that she had been abused, she had been hurt, and brainwashed. Brainwashing, which was a very popular idea in the 70s, 60s and 70s, is the notion, the idea that your mind or your thoughts were being controlled so that you begin to believe everything you are told by a certain person or group of people. The prosecutor, however, the lawyer working for the government who was arguing against her, didn't believe that she was brainwashed. The prosecutor said that she was a willing participant, meaning she wanted to do the things she did. She participated in the robbery, the stealing of the money, because she wanted to. Hearst was, in fact, convicted or found guilty of the bank robbery and went to jail. She was supposed to stay there for 35 years. However, she was released, she was let out of prison, after only 22 months. Many people thought this was unfair. More recently, President Bill Clinton officially pardoned her in 2000, right before he ended his term as president, meaning he said that she was forgiven for her participation in the bank robbery. That was also controversial. After that, other members of the SLA died or were arrested. Patty herself went on to become an actress, and she appeared in several movies and TV shows. Not very famous ones, I don't think. I can't remember any of them right now. But I do remember reading about the Patty Hearst case in the 70s when I was in grade school and high school, and it is certainly one of the more famous cases of kidnapping and Stockholm Syndrome in recent American history. Now let's answer some of the questions you have sent to us. Yong Woo, Yong-woo, in South Korea, wants to know the meaning of the words embarrassed, ashamed, and awkward. Embarrassed is when you feel what we would say self-conscious. That is, you feel as though you have done something wrong and everyone is looking at you, or you are not very happy with what happened. For example, if the teacher in your classroom yells at you, says, "You're a bad student, Jeff McQuillan." That happened a lot. I might become embarrassed. My face might turn red, redder than it is right now, and I would be embarrassed by that. Ashamed, A-S-H-A-M-E-D, is a little bit more serious than embarrassment. When you feel shame, you feel a great sorrow or sadness about something that you did wrong. You feel a sense of guilt often. Marie felt ashamed after she stole her friend's money. I would feel ashamed too. Marie, you should give that money back. Awkward, A-W-K-W-A-R-D, is different than embarrassed and ashamed. It means that you tend to perhaps cause embarrassment for other people. You say things that make other people feel embarrassed or feel a little strange. So, for example, you meet someone in a cafe and you start talking, and the person suddenly asks you how much money you make. What is your salary? That might be a little awkward. People don't like to give that information, especially to strangers, to people they don't know. That would be an example of awkward. Awkward is sometimes also used to describe a person who does things such as accidentally falling down or hitting a glass and making it go to the ground and break accidentally. What we would call clumsy, C-L-U-M-S-Y. Awkward has those two meanings. embarrassed and ashamed are close in meaning. Ashamed, however, as I mentioned, is a much stronger emotion. If you feel ashamed, it's usually because you've done something you think is morally or ethically wrong, such as lying or stealing. Awkward is related, but it's different. It's related to embarrassment, but it usually is something less serious and is often something that isn't so much about feeling guilty as it is feeling strange, feeling like things aren't quite normal here. Maria, M-A-R-I-A, in Chile, wants to know the use of the words people and persons. Both of these are plural, so when did we use one and when do we use another? Well, both people and persons refer to a group of humans, of human beings. People is the most common term used for more than one person. So between these two, people is more common. The streets are full of people in Las Vegas. There's always people on the sidewalk, on the streets, in the main part of town. Or, the president needs the support of the people, meaning the people who are in his country or her country. Persons is sometimes used in more formal or legal situations to refer to a group of people, a group of humans. American law protects persons with disabilities. Maria has been missing for a week. The police are putting her on their missing persons list. Except in a few common phrases, it's usually okay to use the word people to talk about a group of human beings. I would not use persons unless you know that you are using it in one of those more common expressions, such as missing persons. The police sometimes talk about persons of interest, meaning the people that they are looking for who may have committed a crime. One phrase that you will hear with person is the expression in person, which means that you are physically somewhere. You are physically there. In that case, you cannot use people. You can't say in people. That doesn't make any sense. You would have to say in person, although notice person is singular, not plural there. Finally, Dasha, D-A-S-H-A, from Ukraine, wants to know the meaning of a quote he saw in the popular movie Terminator 3, where our now former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, says the expression, talk to the hand. Talk to the hand was first used in the early 1990s by some comedians, by some comedy groups. When someone is talking to you and you don't want to hear them anymore, you want them to stop, you would put your hand up in the air with the palm of your hand, the front of your hand, facing toward that person and say, talk to the hand. Normally when you put your hand up like that, it means stop. And that in fact is what you are saying. Stop talking. I'm not interested in listening to what you said. It's not a nice thing to say to someone. It's something of an insult. I would not use it to anyone unless you were doing so jokingly. But it does mean no one is listening to what you are saying, or I'm not listening to you, so stop talking. It still can be heard, though it is not as popular as it was back way long ago in the 1990s. If you have a question or comment, I'm not going to tell you to talk to the hand. Email ESLpodcast at ESLPOD at ESLPOD.com. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. Copyright 2011 by the Center for Educational Development.